Well, good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this second day of April, day 93 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter. I am your brother and your Bible reading coach, someone who shows up every day to spend a little time together in the pages of the Scriptures, and we're going to let the Scriptures do what they do and point the way to the one who is, the living Word of God, the one alone who has the words of life. And so we come, sisters, brothers from all around this beautiful world, to warm our hearts by the fires of God's love. Today it's going to be in the book of Judges, chapters 13 through 16, and we'll finish our reading in 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. And I'm glad you're here, friend. This is the word of the Lord. Judges 13. Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, "Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So be careful. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines." The woman ran and told her husband, "A man of God appeared to me. He looked like one of God's angels, terrifying to see. I didn't ask where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he told me you will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food, for your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from the moment of his birth until the day of his death." Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, saying, "Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instructions about this son who is to be born." God answered Manoah's prayer, and the angel of God appeared once again to his wife as she was sitting in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. So she quickly ran and told her husband, "The man who appeared to me the other day is here again." Manoah ran back with his wife and asked, "Are you the man who spoke to my wife the other day?" "Yes," he replied, "I am." So Manoah asked him, "When your words come true, what kind of rules should govern the boy's life and work?" The angel of the Lord replied, "Be sure your wife follows the instructions I gave her. She must not eat grapes or raisins, drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, or eat any forbidden food." Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please stay here until we can prepare a young goat for you to eat." "I will stay," the angel of the Lord replied, "but I will not eat anything. However, you may prepare a burnt offering as a sacrifice to the Lord." Manoah didn't realize it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? For when all this comes true, we want to honor you." "Why do you ask my name?" the angel of the Lord replied. "It is too wonderful for you to understand." Then Manoah took a young goat and grain offering and offered it on a rock as a sacrifice to the Lord. And as Manoah and his wife watched, the Lord did an amazing thing. As the flames from the altar shot up toward the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended in the fire. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell with their faces to the ground. The angel did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord. And he said to his wife, "We will certainly die, for we have seen God." But his wife said, "If the Lord were going to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our burnt offering and grain offering. He wouldn't have appeared to us and told us this wonderful thing and done these miracles." When her son was born, she named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he lived in Manahadan, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtaol. Judges 14. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me. His father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the tribes of Israel you could marry? They asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines and find a wife? But Samson told his father, Get her for me. She looks good to me. His father and mother didn't realize that the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines, who ruled over Israel at that time. As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyard of Timnah. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat. But he didn't tell his father or mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of a lion, and he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped some of the honey into his hand and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it. But he didn't tell them that he had taken the honey from the carcass of a lion. As his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was custom for elite young men. When the bride's parents saw him, they selected 30 young men from the town to be his companions. Samson said to them, Let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So he said, Out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, Entice your husband to explain the riddle for us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, You don't love me. You hate me. You have given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer.
I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother, he replied. Why should I tell you?
So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. So before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with the answer.
What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?
Samson replied,
If you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, and gave their clothing to the men who had solved his riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at the wedding. Judges 15. Later on during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife. He said, I'm going into my wife's room to sleep with her. But her father wouldn't let him in. I truly thought you must hate her, her father explained. So I gave her in marriage to your best man. But look, her younger sister is even more beautiful than she is. Marry her instead, Samson said. This time I cannot be blamed for anything I'm going to do to you Philistines. Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. He tied their tails together in pairs, and he fastened a torch to each pair of tails. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the grain fields of the Philistines. He burned all their grain to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. He also destroyed their vineyards and olive groves. Who did this? The Philistines demanded. Samson was the reply, because his father-in-law from Timnah gave Samson's wife to be married to his best man. So the Philistines went and got the woman and her father and burned them to death. Because you did this, Samson vowed, I won't rest until I take my revenge on you. So he attacked the Philistines with great fury and killed many of them. Then he went to live in the cave in the rock at Etam. The Philistines retaliated by setting up camp in Judah and spreading out near the town of Lehi. The men of Judah asked the Philistines, Why are you attacking us? The Philistines replied,
We've come to capture Samson. We've come to pay him back for what he did to us.
So 3,000 men of Judah went down to get Samson at the cave in the rock of Etam. They said to Samson,
Don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What are you doing to us?
But Samson replied,
I only did to them what they did to me.
But the men of Judah told him, We have come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines.
All right, Samson said, but promise you won't kill me yourselves.
We will only tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines, they replied.
We won't kill you.
So they tied him up with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. As Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph. But the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, and he snapped the ropes on his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax, and they fell from his wrists. Then he found a jawbone of a recently killed donkey. He picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Then Samson said,
With the jawbone of a donkey I piled them in heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey I killed 1,000 men.
When he finished his boasting, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was named Jawbone Hill. Samson was now very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord,
You have accomplished this great victory by the strength of your servant. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of these pagans?
So God caused water to gush out of a hollow in the ground at Lehi, and Samson was revived as he drank. Then he named that place the Spring of the One Who Cried Out. And it is still in Lehi to this day. Samson judged Israel for 20 years during the period when the Philistines dominated the land. Judges 16. One day Samson went to the Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered together and waited all night at the town gates. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, When the light of the morning comes, we will kill him. But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the town gate, including the two posts, and lifted them up, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of a hill across from Hebron. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said,
Entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong, and how he can be overcome and tied up securely. Then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver.
So Delilah said to Samson, Please tell me what makes you so strong, and what it would take to tie you up securely.
Samson replied, If I were tied up with 7 new bowstrings that have not yet been dried, I would become as weak as anyone else.
So the Philistine rulers brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings, and she tied Samson up with them. She had hidden some men in one of the inner rooms of her house, and she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson snapped the bowstrings as a piece of string snaps when it is burned in a fire. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Afterward, Delilah said to him, You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely.
Samson replied, If I were tied up with brand new ropes that have never been used, I would become as weak as anyone else.
So Delilah took new ropes and tied him up with them. The men were hiding in the inner room as before, and again Delilah cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But again Samson snapped the ropes from his arms as if they were thread. Then Delilah said, You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now tell me how you can be tied up securely.
Samson replied, If you were to weave the 7 braids of my hair into the fabric on your loom and tighten it with the loom shuttle, I would become as weak as anyone else.
So while he slept, Delilah wove the 7 braids of his hair into the fabric. Then she tightened it with the loom shuttle. Again she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson woke up, pulled back the loom shuttle, and yanked his hair away from the loom and the fabric. Then Delilah pouted.
How can you tell me I love you when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me these 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong.
She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her.
My hair has never been cut off, he confessed. For I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth, so she sent for the Philistine rulers. Come back one more time, she said, for he has finally told me his secret. So the Philistine rulers returned with the money in their hands. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as I've done before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. But before long, his hair began to grow back. The Philistine rulers held a great festival and offered sacrifices. And praising their god Dagon, they said, Our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson. When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, Our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power. Half drunk by now, the people demanded, Bring out Samson so he can amuse us. So he was brought from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand between 2 pillars supporting the roof. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, Place my hands against the pillars that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them. Now the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. Sovereign Lord, remember me again. O God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my 2 eyes. Then Samson put his hands on the 2 center pillars that held up the temple. Pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, Let me die with the Philistines. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. Later, his brothers and the relatives went down to get his body. They took him back home and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, where his father Manoah was buried. Samson had judged Israel for 20 years. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So I decided that I would not bring you grief with another painful visit. For if I cause you grief, who will make me glad? Certainly not someone I have grieved. That is why I wrote to you as I did, so that when I do come, I won't be grieved by the very ones who ought to give me the greatest joy. Surely you all know that my joy comes from you being joyful. I wrote that letter in great anguish, with a troubled heart and many tears. I didn't want to grieve you, but I wanted to let you know how much love I have for you. I'm not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. I wrote to you as I did to test you and see if you would fully comply with my instructions. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. When I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. But I had no peace of mind because my dear brother Titus hadn't yet arrived with a report from you. So I said goodbye and went on to Macedonia to find him. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Like a sweet perfume, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but his fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing,
We are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? You see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. And now may our Lord give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. A life-giving perfume. Paul says, that's what our lives are to be. Perfume is beautiful. It's treasured. It fills the senses. It revives us. It beautifies us. This perfume Paul's talking about goes even further. It gives life. This life-giving perfume never evaporates or dissipates over time. Once poured out, it grows and multiplies. It fills the room. It fills the world. Its fragrance spreads through time, and it gives life to each new generation, each new civilization. This is eternal, life-giving perfume. It has been poured out on us, and we are to pour it out on others. On this Good Friday, we remember that God's life-giving perfume was poured out in the life of our Lord Jesus upon the whole earth. As he hung from the cross, he gave himself so that he might offer radical forgiveness for all, that he might suffer on behalf of all, that fragrant life would beautify all. So this day, may the Spirit of Christ, the fragrance of his life, emanate from our souls into this world. May others be awakened to the fragrant life, the self-giving, radically forgiving, co-suffering life of our Lord. May we all be awakened to this life that is ours in him today. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining me today in this time through the scriptures and in prayer. It is a privilege indeed to share the seasons of this life with you. We've just gone through a Lenten season, and now we are in the season of Pentecost. And each one of these seasons is an opportunity for our hearts to be awakened more and more to the life we have in Jesus. Speaking of seasons, man, we had a proper spring day here in the Pacific Northwest. Just beautiful outside. I love this time of year. Let me encourage you, friends, to get yourself outside if you are able, to take a little bit of a walk if you are able, to breathe deep, look up, say thank you, to do some of that soul work. You'll be glad you did. Well, I'm glad for you all, for each and every one of you, for the opportunity to share a little of life's road together with you. And that road is being paved in part by you, partners to this podcast, people that have been able to and have joyfully given so that we might give in return. And I just want to say thank you to Ruth and Dean Cross and Andrea Rowe and Jody Poundstone and Dan and Melinda Turon and Brett Taylor and Gianni Rossetto and Jimmy and Amanda Mancusi. Blessings to you, my sisters, my brothers, my co-laborers in this work of the Lord. If you're listening today and you are able and you, well, frankly, you think it would be a joyful thing to partner with us, man, that is so amazing and frankly so needed. And all you need to do is head on over to the webpage, dailyradiobible.com, click on the donate link. In fact, you can find that same link right in the show notes of today's podcast. You don't have to go anywhere, right here on your phone. You can make that happen. And if you are old school and you prefer to do things the old analog way, that would be the U.S. Post, you can reach us at Daily Radio Bible, 2748 Northeast Moline Way, Hillsboro, Oregon, 97124. Well, hey, we've done it, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do it again. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Your brother Hunter plans on being here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.